My text is Ephesians 4, 1 to 2. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. The idea that nobody is called into work except a preacher has done a great deal of harm. Everyone has a calling, called into something that nobody else can do except him. In the purpose of God, he is assigned a particular place, and he owes it to God to fill that place to the best of his ability. All we do should be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. When we do a thing in the name of another, it means that we do it for his, by his authority. Since everything we do should be done in the name of Jesus, it follows that our position in life is by his authority. We've no right to occupy a place nor to engage in a work without the authority of Jesus, our Master. Everyone is definitely called into his life work. 1 Corinthians 7, 23-24 says, ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. This passage teaches that since we are the Lord's property, having been bought with a price, we should recognize this fact by staying put where the Lord puts us and serving him where he wants us to serve. In choosing a life calling or vocation, we should try to find what is God's will and what he wants done. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? And if thou hadst not received it, as if you had not received it. God designs that each one fill his position, and he will that you occupy just the place that he designs. Two men never get a thought or give a thought to God in deciding what they shall do in life. That's a serious matter, especially for young people. Their entire future depends upon the decision they make. It should be decided in view of the will of God. When we have chosen our life work or calling, we should recognize God as our senior partner. For we're laborers together with God. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:9. That being true, we should never engage in any enterprise nor set out on any undertaking without finding the will of our senior partner, the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many leave God out of their calculation. All subordinates should consult their superiors, and Jesus is our superior in the work that we are doing. Failure to properly use our life for God will cause us to lose our power. And Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. There are many who have failed to use their lives for God, and they're like salt that's lost its saltness. If all our energies, all our work, all our bearing is directed toward God, it means power and success in the true sense. Otherwise, final failure will be our portion. We should have zeal in our calling. In John 2:17, we'll read of Jesus, where it says, "The zeal of mine house hath eaten me up." The Lord set the example of being zealous. Half-heartedness is detested by the Lord. He rebuked the church in Revelation 3:15, saying, "I know thy works, if thou wert neither cold nor hot, I would thou wert cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." God is here represented as being nauseated with the Laodiceans because they were lukewarm. Made God sick on the stomach because they were lukewarm. Better make a mistake in overzeal than to be careless and lukewarm, a don't care sort of spirit. The things we possess are the tools of our work, life work. Our personality, our talents, our opportunities, anything else we've received from God are to be used in our life work for God. Just as the carpenter has the hammer, the saw, the plane, and other tools which to work, even so all our possessions are tools with which God works through us. Where we use these possessions for worldly and wicked purposes, our life is wasted. The end of such a life will be ruined. Luke 19:13 said, "He called his 10 servants and had lived them 10 pounds, said, occupy till I come." Do you use the Lord's pound as a steward? Or do you just fritter it away? Pounds means material which to work. God has given you material which to work. How are you using it? Our life is the light that should shine to benefit all mankind. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What we do reflects what we are, and we let our light shine by what we do. In your business, you should not forget that you are representative of Jesus. The people do not read the Bible. They read you and they read me. We should reflect the light, shine out the light, be a moon to the sun, and thus lead men to Christ. In our vocation or calling, all we have should be used to God, dedicated to God's work. Read in 2 Kings 4:9-10, where the Shunammite woman dedicated her home to God and had a room there for God's man to stay when he came her way. Read in John the 11th chapter where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus used their home for the Lord. Read 2 Timothy 1:5 where Timothy's childhood home was used for God. With our homes, our stores, our shops, our profession, our occupation, all used as his steward, what an ideal life we'd be living. In everything we should ask if this is God's will. Everything we do would be for his glory if we do that. All life appears differently when we recognize that everything we do is done as a trustee, as a steward. What is your aim in life? Surely you're not aimless. Just what is your aim when you decide what your calling shall be? What purpose have you in it? Is it simply to make money? It's all right to make money, but when you make money, use it for the glory of God. If not, terrible will be your fall. What an opportunity you have to use your money for the glory of God. You can help support this radio, for instance. Help keep me preaching on the air as I've been doing for 18 years. You've been so good to furnish me the money to pay the radio station. I preach free of charge. Don't charge a cent for it. Do that gladly. But the radio station must be paid, and you have been paying it. Why not send a contribution right away and help keep the work going? And what an opportunity you have in the Missionary Baptist Institute. to help take care of the great work in training those preachers there and those young women for the honor and the glory of God. If you live for money and hoard your money, look out. The devil will get hold of it. In 1 Timothy 6:9-10, it said, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. To live for self, hoarding money means final failure. To live for God, recognizing the fact that you are God's steward, God's trustee, means final success. What shall the end be? It's far more important than any temporary success. I knew a man who lived strictly for himself. He was industrious and made money. He used the money to buy more land and more equipment for the farm. He kept on at this, disregarding the Lord's day. He worked on Sunday as well as the rest of the week. He did not attend church. He was too busy. He piled up an immense fortune and finally was stricken down with disease. The doctor came and said his case was hopeless, that he must die. He was in agony. He begged for help, but no help could be given. The poor man was rich in this world's goods, but not rich toward God. God became secondary to him, and so he was frantic at the end and begged for help. He raved. Over and over again, he cried out, begging them to hold him, saying, don't let me get away. Don't let me go. Don't let the devil get me. Hold me. He said he saw the devil who had come for him. Poor man, who shall all these things be that you have accumulated? Life is a dismal failure unless you use it for God. Your money is of no good unless you use it for God. So I'm saving it for my children. You are, and your children may turn out bad, and if they don't turn out bad, their children, which would be your grandchildren, may turn out bad and fritter it all away. Lawsuits will come. They'll fight over your property. Why not fix your property now so that it'll serve God while you live? And fix it so that it'll serve God after you're dead. Have you made your will? Well, now make part of it at least for the church. Why not leave a large amount of your property to the Missionary Baptist Institute here in Little Rock, Arkansas? Leave it for the benefit of the school to train young men. Reincarnate yourself in these young men and young women. So when they preach, you be preaching. So when they teach the Word of God, you be teaching. So whatever they do, you be doing. Oh, why not be reincarnated in them? What have you thought about this matter? Just piling up money, buying bonds, and accumulating wealth to no purpose. Oh, it's fine to accumulate wealth if you do it for the honor and glory of God and will use your money and your time and your all for the honor and glory of God. Otherwise, your life will be a failure. Your sun will set behind a dark cloud. Your life will be wasted. God bless you. Let us hear from you. Write a letter and help us keep this good work going. Well, goodbye.